folks. You know, I think I've laid out a pretty complete argument as to like how we got to where we are now. But I want to go to clip number 25 here. This is Konstantin Kissin, who's like really great half the time and really incoherent the other half. He's a funny character to me, but he's completely right about what he says here about the way Europeans, English people in particular, have been demonized unfairly. And that's a very nice way of putting it. Here's Konstantin Kissin.
We've spent a very long time now being afraid to say something that we should say, which is the accusation that we are the most intolerant or places that are defined by racism and slavery and all of this other stuff, is not just false, it's the exact inversion of the truth. It's the exact inversion of the truth. It's the exact opposite of the truth. I debate these people all the time, right? I say to them, whether it's, you know, TV or whatever, and I say to them, look, even behind closed doors, I will say this to people, you're a black woman, or you're a this, or you're a that. Where would you rather live than in Britain or Canada or America or Australia or New Zealand, like five countries? I'm sure I've forgotten some. But it's not many countries, and they're all Western countries, right? So if you would rather live somewhere else, name me, is it China, is it Russia, is it Japan? Where are these beautiful places full of tolerance and all of this? We are the best at the very thing that we are being accused of being terrible at. The same with slavery. Slavery existed in the entire world, and then the West ended it.
Well, this country.
This country specifically, first, right?
Voluntarily. Without bloodshed. Well,
right?
A lot of pain for the slaves, but without the bloodshed of the Civil War.
That doesn't mean that slavery is...
But America had.
Is defendable, but what is... That's not what you have to defend. The accusation should be, why were you the first empire to end slavery, if there's an accusation to be made? If there's an inquiry to be made, that's the question we should be asking. Why was this country and its ideas and a place where this novel realization that slavery is wrong, something that prior to that, basically all human beings treated as kind of like, you know, part of life, right? Like you keep your dog in a kennel, you keep people you've conquered in war in bondage. That's what everybody thought.
And I don't know if you see the connection there, right? He almost is approaching this as if there's something ironic or hypocritical about this almost. It actually makes perfect sense. Of course, the countries that pioneered human rights, that pioneered the destruction of slavery, that created the world as we know it with all of its tolerance and vulnerabilities, of course they're the ones that are going to be vulnerable then to exploitation and lies and manipulation. It actually makes perfect sense. The thing we need to do is be able to retain those values that truly are the thing that set us apart and make us different and frankly better than other cultures. Western culture is better because it is self-sacrificial, because it is open to negotiation, because it's not rigid and hard-lined and brutal and dog-eat-dog. We rose above that. We created something better. And of course, it's going to get torn down. People are going to want to tear it down. It doesn't have to get torn down. It gets torn down because we have gone too far in that direction. We have to maintain those values while also ruthlessly protecting them against encroachment. We have to protect those values in totality, in a comprehensive and holistic way that says we're protecting free speech and we're keeping people out who don't want to protect free speech and who don't value free speech. We're going to arm ourselves because we're going to maintain a civilization that's capable of being armed because its people are intelligent and responsible. You can't have one without the other, and you can't have endless giving and endless empathy for other people if you don't have empathy for yourself, and if you don't care about yourself. This is suicidal. You can do it the other way. You can only care about yourself and you'll be fine. But then you'll be like everybody else. We want to care about everybody else, but in order to do that, we have to protect ourselves and value ourselves and defend ourselves. Shouldn't be that hard. But it is almost, it's inevitable. It's our greatest strength is our greatest weakness. Doesn't have to be. We can stand up for ourselves. It's not hard.
Fire! Blow it to hell!
For
the last 30 years, one man has stood against the psychological operations launched by the mainstream media and the deep state. This man knew that the war would not be fought in the streets, but would be fought in the minds of freedom-loving humans everywhere. So stand with Alex Jones, this one man terminating wrecking ball of truth, as he launches his next great operation. AlexJonesLive.com has launched. Spread this message far and wide, because the tyrants want you fighting with each other instead of the true enemy of humanity. AlexJonesLive.com is the signal they can't stop.
You will never defeat humanity.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live, Alex Jones Network, AlexJonesLive.com. Please do support us at TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com. Like I meant to tell you last hour, it is Memorial Day on Monday. Memorial Day is coming up, and that was the whole reason I was playing that video, to say, yes, we have fallen. We have fallen very far, but it wasn't that long ago that we lived in a world that looked like a Norman Rockwell painting. And all the people that tell you that it's really just cover for some deep sickness that everybody was hiding. Nope, it was free, it was happy, it was prosperous, everybody got along for the most part. Sure, there was some strife here or there, some legacies of some outdated policies or laws that had to be changed. But to go from that to where we are now took deliberate, orchestrated destruction. It didn't just happen, right? We are under attack, and we've been under attack, and until we realize that, wake up and fight back, we're going to continue to lose. And winning is the only thing that matters at the end of the day, because we're talking about struggle for survival. And yes, we have a reason to live, which is we are unique, and you know, it's not just the physical survival, but the survival of the ideas and the continuity of the historical sort of rocket ship that we're all temporary passengers on. But at the end of the day, if we don't recognize the threat and fight back against it, we're going to succumb to it. And it is actually a choice that we're making. We have made the choice to fight back. We have gone all in on humanity. I believe that we do have the capability to wake up and rub the sleep out of our eyes and realize that, like Gulliver, we are tied down on a beach somewhere by a bunch of Lilliputians that would be very easy to defeat if we just felt like it, if we had the will, if we had the strength of character or, you know, future vision to understand where we're going and how to, you know, flip the switch and change the tracks. I think we could do it pretty easily. We are very much like Gulliver. I've been using that metaphor forever. That, like, okay, now we're like, we've woken up. I still feel like we're in the process where, like, we are Gulliver on the beach, strapped down. We're awake now. Most people are awake, and most people are looking around going, oh, these are ropes tying me down. Oh, I see Lilliputians crawling around everywhere. We should really do something. And it's like, yeah, we should stand up. Right. You're Gulliver. The things holding you down are in your mind. Those ropes are not strong enough to hold you, actually. You can stand up. You can stand up whenever you want, and you can crush the Lilliputians under your feet, but they're telling you it's mean to do that, so you're not. That's what we have to get over. We really are at war with ourselves in a lot of ways, and we will continue to be. But no matter what, no matter how badly things have gone in the very recent past because of the attack that we have failed to defend ourselves from, the people that actually did go out and fight for this country deserve all the praise in the world. And this is something that you really have to understand. And I see this with people who are veterans, people in my family, who they wake up to the reality of how the world works and they go, I used to be so proud of my service. Now I realize I was working for the evil empire. I realized I was serving Satan. I didn't even know it. And I always have to say to them, like, you cannot feel bad about that. You really can't. Your motivation is what matters. And your, you know, what you did, whether it was, you know, serving in Iraq or Afghanistan or anywhere, like, you weren't going there for money, right? Like, you weren't going there because you wanted to sell the poppy, you know, with the CIA, were you? I mean, if you were one of those guys, all right, maybe we'll have a problem. But if you're just the boots on the ground, if you're the grunt who sent there without your permission, without your say-so, you signed up to do the right thing, to maybe carry on a family tradition of being in the Army, that's an honorable thing. It's a good thing. And that spirit needs to be maintained. You should never feel bad about that. You should feel taken advantage of. I would say that, yeah, that's something you can definitely feel. I think you should definitely feel screwed over and taken advantage of and, you know, angry at the people that did this to you. But for anybody that feels guilt, or on the other side, anybody, like the young people I'm talking about who think, you know, 1776, who cares? America's fallen. No, you're dumb. No, you are disrespectful and selfish, not recognizing the sacrifices of the people that came before you. So we're going to honor those sacrifices and understand that nobody goes to spend their life on some beach in Europe or desert in the Middle East out of anything other than, you know, honorable and respectable motivation. So we'll reclaim it. You know, we can't take your eye off the prize. You disconnect from the founding fathers. You disconnect from the foundational, primordial morals of this country, and you're out to sea. You're basically going to end up trying to create some weird new form of communism that's just going to be like every other form of communism. It doesn't make any sense. No, we have the blueprint. We know the system that works. It's called the Republic. We just have to defend better against the encroachment of democracy, the encroachment of tolerance of things that are intolerable, the encroachment of manipulation and subversion and media control destroying people's minds. You have to maintain it. You have to be worthy of it. Liberty is not a license to do anything. It's an obligation to do the right thing. And until we reclaim that mindset, then it will be hopeless. But it's not hopeless. America is still unbelievably powerful, unbelievably prosperous, and unbelievably hard to kill, folks. Remember, the enemy is never vanquished until they believe themselves so. And you are never vanquished until you willingly submit. We will never submit. We have gone all in on this. All that we ask from you is you support us at thealexjonesstore.com. You're going to get sick of me talking about how much I like this wallet, but what can I say? It's a damn fine wallet. It really is a nice wallet. And it's going to sell out, by the way. I probably shouldn't even be plugging this, because by the time you see it, it might not even be there. If you want one of these, you got to go now. You got to get one today. By the time Memorial Day itself rolls around on Monday, probably not going to be any more available at current rates. And by the way, they're still on sale on discount with they're the new RFID Freedom Shield wallets at thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. And I'm telling you, for the graduate in your life, for a gift or for yourself, I really love this. I really do love this wallet. And there's just something about it, you know, like a really good product. Like Apple was really good at this. The tactile feel that it, you know, you can't just have a functional phone. It's got to feel good. It's got to give you a dopamine rush when you hold it in your hand. You know, that's what this wallet does to me. I'm just like blown away by its craftsmanship. It's really nice. I cut down a few of my cards, so it's even slimmer than it was. Somebody was asking me on X yesterday about holding cash. It has a strap in the back for cash, and it can hold up to 25 bills. It says, I don't have any cash on me right now. I usually do, but not today. So I can't tell you from personal experience, but yeah, I'll probably slip it back there. I might even put a money clip on the back. I might customize it a little bit with a money clip on the back, but it has a strap for cash back here. And then of course you pull up the cards like this. It's got a real nice, like smooth function. It feels good to use, and it feels well-made and high quality. And it's on sale now at thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Get yours today before they sell out. They'll be gone this weekend at current rates. And the Memorial Day sale is a great time to do it. Deals are already marked down, and now you're getting an extra 25% stacked on top. It's time to load up. This is a Memorial Day sale. It will end on Monday. The buy one, get one BOGO SUPS sale has been extended to Monday as well. T3 trifecta iodine tincture is buy one, get one free, as is the methylene blue tincture. Buy one, get one free, two of our best-selling products anyway. You can get one, buy one, get one free, and get an additional 25% off. Plus, the new Freedom Shield wallet is on sale for almost half price for everybody, but a fully, you know, $40 discount if you're a VIP member. These things sell for $70 in stores. You can get one today for $49 on thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. VIPs get it for $39.20. It always pays to be a VIP member. If you sign up to be a VIP member, or well, if you are a VIP member, you get $10 every month to spend on the store. So if you sign up to be a VIP member today, you're going to get 10 bucks. You're getting an extra 10 bucks off the wallet. You're basically getting this wallet for like 20 bucks total, more or less, something like that. There are lots of ways to save. Now's the time to do it. Memorial Day sale, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. All right. I got some videos, folks. Boy, do I have some videos for you. Some of them I don't even look forward to playing. I've got a lot of videos about the flotilla, about the gods of flotilla. Maybe it's just because it's Friday. I don't know. You get to the end of the week and it's like, do we really have to talk about how Israel tortures activists? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. It's my job. I'll do it. We have to face this stuff head on. So we'll get to a video about that. But before we do, I want to go to this video. Let's have a little fun first, shall we? Is it fun? I don't know. Laughing at the incompetence that is destroying your country. Whatever. It's the best we got. It's the best we got at this point, so we're going to enjoy it. We're going to go to, I just saw it. You know the video I'm talking about? 51. This is the mayor of Chicago, Mayor Johnson, who keeps getting in hot water over the fact that he has like a 150-person bodyguard unit composed of what should be like beat cops, like regular cops, but instead they're assigned to protecting him and him alone at a time when Chicago is beset by violent crime, violent gangs randomly attacking people, murders just at an astronomical level, and activists reversing a lot of the policies that were put into place to make the city safer, things like the shot stopper or shot detector, where it told you where gunshots were before people had to call 911. They took that away because all of the gunshots were happening in black and brown neighborhoods. Here's Mayor Johnson today, mayor of Chicago, talking about what police have to deal with there in Chicago. Let's watch.
Let me be absolutely clear. Remember when we had multiple arrests at a gathering, and then another gathering happened the following week? If we believe that we can arrest our way towards safety, we're wrong. We ask police officers to do too much.
So, what happened to me this morning was I was tying my tie, I was getting dressed, and I was scrolling through videos on X, and that video popped up, and it popped up while I was tying my tie, and so it looped like 3 or 4 times. It'll loop if you don't touch anything. And so I watched it like 3 or 4 times, heard it like 3 or 4 times, and it just sunk in every time. What the hell is this guy talking about? Every sentence of that is like a masterclass in absurdity. Everything that man just said is worthy of investigation. Okay? It was a short clip. It's only about, you know, 5 or 6 sentences. But my God. My God. Can we go through it sentence by sentence? Let's play that again and just pause it after. We're going to go step by step here. Okay? So here's Mayor Johnson. Let's dissect this like we need to. Let's watch.
Let me be absolutely clear. Remember when we had multiple arrests at a gathering, and then another gathering happened the following week? If we believe that we can arrest our way towards safety, we're wrong.
All right. We got to pause. See, I should have paused it earlier. We had multiple arrests at a gathering. All right. So off the bat, he's downplaying what's actually happening. These teen takeovers that look like a scene out of Mad Max or God only knows the rave scene from The Matrix. It's just like, because it's always at night and it's usually lit by fire. And so maybe it looks more like, I don't know, a depiction from a Conan the Barbarian story where he's going down the Congo or something. But it's just, it's fire and like, dancing and just like cars being flipped. It's chaos. All right. So on the first off, the gathering, a youth gathering, where multiple people are arrested, probably not as many as there should have been. Then he says that happened 1 week, and then the next week there's another one. Pfft, that's too much. That's too much for the police to handle. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? Two events a week apart? In the second biggest city in the entire United States, or third biggest city in the entire United States, you can't handle two events in 2 weeks? What the hell are you talking about, sir? They just say this stuff, and it just in one ear and out the other. But if you really think about it, this is the thing. When it plays over and over, you're like, wait, what? An event happened last week and then happened this week, and you're saying this is too much? What? It's like, you know, the fire department. I mean, there was a fire on Saturday, and what happened a week later? Another fire. This is, what are we supposed to do? Put out every fire? It's like, yeah, that's not that much. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? So the teen gathering that ended in multiple arrests happened again. And gosh, wouldn't you know it, it's just, that's too much. Two times in 2 weeks, that's too much to deal with. Okay, let's keep going.
Let me be absolutely clear. Remember when we had multiple arrests at a gathering, and then another gathering happened the following week? If we believe that we can arrest our way towards safety, we're wrong.
Let's pause it there. If we believe we can arrest our way to safety, we're wrong. You want to back that up with literally anything? You want to explain why you think that's the case? I don't understand. Are you saying because multiple people were arrested the first time, the fact that it happened again means that those first arrests didn't matter? Is that what you think? Because that's a crazy way to think. That's crazy. That's crazy. I think that's what he's saying, though. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's saying you can't arrest your way out of this because there was a teen takeover, we arrested a couple of them, and then they did it again the next week. So we're throwing our hands up. Doesn't work. Arresting people doesn't work. Let's try it. Let's give it a try. Why don't you try arresting people? Why don't you try arresting more people? And let's see if the crime rate goes down. Because the way he's sort of phrasing it is almost as if they arrested everybody from the teen takeover. And then the next week, there was just another teen takeover, and the arrests like didn't matter. I bet they arrested like 10 people out of the 400 that were there. And he's like, well, we can't, you know, do anything about it. What are we supposed to do? Okay, so far we've got, hey, two events in 2 weeks. You're asking too much of the Chicago Police Department, okay? Also, we cannot arrest our way out of this, even though we haven't tried, and the more lenient we are, the worse crime gets on a correlated basis, right? The less we arrest people, the more lenient we are, the more crime rate goes up, the murder rate goes up, absolutely everything goes up. So again, he just says, you know, the clip's like 20 seconds long, he says a couple things, makes sense to the people there. Other people will go, well, wait, you can't arrest your way out of a problem. That's wrong, and it is on the face of it. But every single part of every sentence is like, what the hell is this guy talking about? It's why democracy is wrong. This clip is why democracy is wrong and bad and evil, actually. This clip explains it all. Because you can have dumb people leading other dumb people saying things that just don't make any sense on the face of it. The more you look into it, the less sense it makes. But a bunch of people are sitting up there thinking he's saying something smart and incisive and poignant. He's not. He is saying nonsense. Replace police with firefighters. It makes sense how little sense it makes. Firefighters are overwhelmed. Y'all remember that big building fire last week? Well, there's another one this week. Spraying water on fires doesn't help. Okay, sure, you can spray water on one fire and maybe it gets put out, but that's not stopping another fire starting next week, is it? So why are we spraying water at the end of the day? That's what he's saying. Are you getting why I'm harping on this? Like, what? You might as well be saying spraying water on fire doesn't work because there's just going to be another fire next week. Okay, great. We're not done. We're two sentences in. Let's keep going. Brandon Johnson. Brandon Johnson, please continue.
Let me be absolutely clear. Remember when we had multiple arrests at a gathering, and then another gathering happened the following week? If we believe that we can arrest our way towards safety, we're wrong. We ask police officers to do too much.
We ask police officers to do too much. Arresting people, their jobs. Again, just replace the word police with the word firefighter and replace the word crime with the word fire. And it should be how ridiculous this is. The fact that people don't see that as ridiculous is really an indictment of our entire system and the democracy that undergirds it. You're asking police to do too much. Hey, asking McDonald's to make cheeseburgers, what are you, crazy? Asking firefighters to spray water on fires, it's too much. They can't handle it. Okay? It's too much. I think you can arrest your way out of it. I think we've seen that from Nayib Bukele. I think anybody saying otherwise is a criminal and themselves should be arrested. I think if we arrest enough people like Brandon Johnson, we don't have to arrest everybody else. They'll all get arrested anyway because it's a deliberate program of leniency that's allowing the chaos to continue. Let's go to clip 56 now. This is a video I referenced earlier with Alex. A woman who was a Black Lives Matter activist got her reward. Let's watch.
40 seconds after she walks in, a man jogs up to the door. The young woman you're watching is walking back to her own apartment building. It's just after 10:30 at night. She's coming home from a festival downtown. She's smiling. She's relaxed. Watch her glance behind her. She doesn't know she was followed. 40 seconds after she walks in, a man jogs up to the door. He looks through the glass. He sees her on the couch inside. He waves to get her attention. They talk for less than a minute. Then she opens the door and lets him in. She would never come out alive. Her name is Paula LaPere. She's 26 years old.
You see, I had my life entirely mapped out. A blueprint for how I was going to make a change in the world.
There's a dead body on the rooftop of 306 West Franklin.
Tell me exactly what happened, Kevin.
We filed a missing person report for my friend and boss this morning, and we just checked the rooftop of the building. I'm looking at her.
Okay, is she awake?
No.
Is she breathing?
No.
Please tell me why does it look like she's dead?
I don't want to get too close. She's...
You got to get closer, Kevin. Why does it look like she's dead? Come on, Kevin. You got this.
Her face is... She looks like she's been dead for a couple of days, and she's partly naked. I think she was f***ing killed.
I'm sending you help, Kevin.
All right. This was posted by Brandon Tatum at The Officer Tatum. Paula LaPere, a social justice warrior and woke CEO, ran EcoMap, a company that stands against systematic racism, bigotry, and police state that criminalizes black bodies. She was beaten to death with a brick by Jason Billingsley, career criminal, registered sex offender. He got early release so the system wouldn't look racist just days before because he'd raped and nearly killed another woman, but he was black, so it was okay.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. There's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos. And Paul Revere, we appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard. the people that do it all and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently, slashing their throats nonviolently, stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently, cutting their heads off nonviolently, ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they live or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy, the spirit of resistance and victory, and they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, guide, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special deals, special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. The Alex Jones Network, AlexJonesLive.com, AlexJonesLive.com. Share that link. Got a bunch of exciting stuff today. Apparently, the debate that I did, me and Alex Stein and Owen Schroyer debated boomers. Millennials versus boomers, the generational divide. Apparently, it's now out. Brandon Straka just texted me saying it's out, so we're going to pull in a trailer for that here. I'm very excited to see how we did. It feels like a long time ago now. Took a while to get out, but we've been waiting with bated breath. So very excited about that. We'll show you that trailer here in just a second. Also, Off Limits News with NXR Studios. If you're watching the Alex Jones Show today, you saw Joel Webbin. He, of course, is the head of NXR Studios, announced, as we did here, the Christ is King America After Trump conference that we'll be holding in Irving Convention Center in Dallas, Texas, November 12th through 14th, 2026. And you can go to newchristianright.com/conference if you want to get tickets to that. And check out Off Limits News on NXR Studios, on NXR Studios on X and YouTube. One of little side ventures that I was very honored for Pastor Webbin to invite me to do. Very exciting stuff. Of course, Alex Stein will be there, Calvin Robinson, Dale Partridge. Very exciting stuff. James Fishback, J.P. Sears, Joel Webbin, Joshua Hames. Very exciting stuff. That'll be happening in November. And Off Limits News out today, and the Boomers versus Millennial debate out today. I haven't actually seen this trailer. I'm excited to find out how it's being presented. But this was a debate that I did with Alex Stein and Owen Schroyer, us three versus three Boomers, who we got along with swimmingly, amazingly. We were aligned like, you know, peas in a pod till the topic of Iran came up, when all of a sudden things got a little crazy. Let's watch.
Okay, Boomer, here we go again. Okay, Boomer, you believe the official narrative of 9/11. It's like, okay, you believe the official moon landing. It's just like, oh my gosh, okay, Boomer, oh, we're sick of this same policy.
Which policy are you talking about that you're sick of?
Tonight, we're going to tell the truth. There is a deep and significant fracture inside the right, and it's getting worse.
We've tried it your way, and all it's done is caused the problem.
Ranting online is not going to solve the problem.
It's generational.
Judeo-Christian values, lessons of World War II.
Judeo-Christian values, just please toss that out of the ring. And as far as World War II is concerned, are we ever going to move on?
All of these issues that you're bitching about have been fought time and time and time again.
That type of response is what's driving people to the left.
Well, they came in illegally, but they're good people and they're working now on farms.
Trump betrayed his base, he betrayed his voters, and he did not follow through, and he was not conservative at all. And we thought Trump was going to be different.
So did we. And Trump was supposed to be the leader of America first.
You think Jeffrey Epstein killed himself?
Of course not.
Boomers for the win.
You are about to inherit a very messy world.
Uh-huh.
And if you're not with us, it's not going to be recoverable.
Our foreign policy is controlled by a foreign country that blackmails and buys our politicians in order to do it.
Israel does not control our foreign policy.
Trump just said it.
He did not say that was the reason.
Do you think we're anti-Semites?
I'm getting a little bit of a feel.
The reason why we're frustrated with this war in Iran is because they lied about weapons of mass destruction after 2001.
It's not true.
They actually.
That is absolutely.
Okay,
not
see,
true.
That this is where we're going to have a huge disconnect.
Stuck on this whole hate Muslims train that you can't even see what's happening right in front of your damn faces.
That is totally effing insane.
$5 trillion plus have been spilled in the Middle East because of it, and tens of thousands of American lives have died in the Middle East because of it, and our generation is saying we are done.
They've screwed up the Middle East, and now they're screwing up Europe.
Have you ever considered you might be falling for fake news?
Rubbish.
The Great MAGA Divide. Walk Away at Real Walk Away on YouTube, streaming on X and Facebook, 7 p.m. Eastern. So, okay, so that'll be starting in 20 minutes. Okay, so it's not quite out yet, but it'll stream in 20 minutes. Very exciting stuff. Follow Brandon Straka and the Walk Away movement. Oh, May 27th. Okay, I'm all wonky then. I thought he was saying it was out. All right, Wednesday, May. Okay, so that was just the trailer. Okay, so they're hyping it up. All right, I'm catching on here. Okay, Wednesday, May 27th, 7 p.m. Sorry, the big bold letters in the middle. That's what I missed. The Great MAGA Divide, Boomers versus Millennials, Wednesday, May 27th, 7 p.m. Okay, so the trailer's out now, but you can watch it streaming on X, Facebook, and YouTube next Wednesday. That's very exciting. Trailer was a little Owen heavy, have to be honest with you. He was the one yelling at them the most, so I guess that makes sense. Right, it's pretty good zingers, too, I'll have you know. It's a little more subtle in my delivery, you might say. But I'm very excited. That was very well done. It's obvious why it's taken a while to come out, because they've been working on it, and it shows. I'm very excited about that. There you go. Baby Boomers versus Millennials. Go check that out. Share the trailer and tune in on Wednesday. Maybe we'll do a live stream of it. Maybe we'll watch along. That could be fun. Should we talk about Israel? Should we talk about the Gaza flotilla? You know, I got lots of videos of the flotilla survivors making statements, and it was really a kind of unique instance, because it's like the United Nations of victims. It's like you got a video of a guy in Italy speaking Italian, you got a Japanese woman and an article about her, so all of these protesters, these activists who were on their way towards Gaza, but were still in international waters, had not committed any crimes, had no weapons, had no anything. They were kidnapped by Israel illegally in international waters, tortured by them, and then released back to their home countries. And so, again, to me, the important thing to understand, well, there's a couple of important things to understand. One is that it's not about the Palestinians. It's not about the Arabs. They treat Europeans in exactly the same way they treat Palestinians. They treat Christians in exactly the same way they treat Muslims. From the point of view of Israel, there is Israel and there is everybody else. You are a part of everybody else if you're not a part of Israel. It's actually not that complicated, but it shows the chutzpah. It shows the confidence. It shows the ability that they have, that they can capture people from, I believe, 40 different countries and know that they're not going to suffer consequence from any of them. Usually, doing this to a single person from a foreign country would cause problems. If an American is, you know, illegally arrested, not committing any crimes, like, the American government will make a stink about it. They'll make a deal about it. They'll go and talk to the country and try to get you out. I mean, it's, you know, sort of the great thing about being an American is being a member of a club that is the most powerful in the world and whose government can move heaven and earth whenever it wants. Ostensibly, that should be our, you know, the benefit of our birth. That should be our right as Americans to have that power exercised at a moment's notice anywhere in the world for us. That rarely ever happens. But if you get a circumstance where, you know, an American is illegally arrested, America will go out of its way to try to get you out, especially if it's in a corrupt or, you know, less than functioning place. They'll do that. And any country would. And so even doing that to one person or one nationality would be a big risk. Israel doesn't blink about doing it to 40 different nations, knowing that none of those 40 nations are going to lift a finger to do anything about it. They should be banding together and everybody doing something about it. This should be a major wake-up call for European nations and their governments and their people. And it should, you know, they should make Israel pay, and Israel should regret this. They should, you know, a couple months from now be looking around going, why did we ever stop that flotilla? We're such idiots. It would have been such a small price to pay. They could have brought food, had their stupid PR. Instead, we've been cut off from supplies. We're, you know, being cornered by our enemies. Like, this demands a response. Doesn't just warrant, it demands a response from all of these different governments. And I'm going to go to first the news report about it. Is that, well, we got to come, man. There's so many of these. Let's go to clip 32 now. We can start with that one. Go ahead.
I was illegally kidnapped by Israel, like 425 other people. We all were in detention, and they put handcuffs on my hands and on my feet. They dragged me, and when I couldn't walk anymore, they dragged me on the ground. They hit me. They hurt all of us a lot. They put the handcuffs so tight that my hands at some point lost feeling, and they laughed all the time. These people were super sadistic. They abused us. They mistreated and hit us, and they took pictures of us. They took off my shirt, and then they just kept on mistreating us all night long. My message to the world is shame on you, shame on all of you, shame on everyone who is silent about this, shame on every government that keeps on trading like Israel, including my own government. They keep on trading with Israel. Israel is the genocide. My government is complicit. The whole of Europe is complicit. The whole world is complicit. So my message to all governments is shame on you, and to all people is please stand up. Stand up and make noise for Palestine, for all genocides around the world, because if we don't do it, no one else will do it. Like, if we don't go in the flotilla, the governments won't solve it. No one will solve it. Only the people can solve.
Like, I don't care if she's a leftist hippie. I really don't. That's what I respect. I respect that fight. I respect that attitude. I respect that unwillingness to get along, to go along, or to expect somebody else to do it. You have to do it. And even if you pay the price for it, even if you're hurt, even if you're injured, you go out and do it again because it's the right thing to do. And because this type of evil can only persist when good people do nothing. So God bless that woman and everybody involved in this flotilla. They were doing the right thing. They were going to try to bring supplies, humanitarian supplies, food and medicine and supplies to people who are being deliberately starved and continuously bombed by a much more powerful, much more advanced genocidal state, who at this point is openly genocidal. We had the story earlier this week. I'm not sure if I presented it, but an official order has gone out on it, you know, the Israeli government stationery ordering ethnic cleansing of large amounts of Lebanon and Gaza. They've already encroached on Gaza and made this yellow line. They're building a wall there. They're violating ceasefire agreements there. They're acting with total impunity and vindictiveness. And they are arresting and torturing European Christians in international waters for the crime of being symbolically against their genocide. Do you understand? These people didn't hurt anybody. And I even saw some people, you know, I think the closest thing you could possibly get to justification for this was they're terrorist supporters, and that's what you get, which, you know, incumbent in that, like within that statement is the tacit admission that you think all Palestinians are terrorists, including the children and the women and the old people who've never heard a fly and never done anything to anybody, which you're evil. Like, if you believe that, then you're evil. If you believe little children are terrorists in waiting that deserve to be killed or starved to death or deprived medicine as they live in rat-infested, flea-infested, disease-ridden tent cities that are still being bombed. There was a bombing in the refugee camp of Gaza today. The big video went viral about it. There's this huge explosion on a tent city for people who have lost everything, been constantly driven from place to place, pursued by bombs, beset by sickness and illness and starvation, and occasionally, you know, shot in the back of the head for the crime of existing. And these people got on a boat and started going in their direction. They never even delivered anything. But the intention was enough. The desire to help the starving people, the desire to support the innocent people, is in opposition to Israel's desire to kill them all. Therefore, they can do whatever they want to you. My question is, if they can do this in international waters, could they do it in territorial waters of another country? And I think the answer would have to be yes. If they can do it in the territorial waters of another country, could they do it on land in another sovereign country? I think the answer again is yes. I think the purpose of this and the purpose of so much we've seen throughout the last couple of years of Israeli aggression and irresponsibility in the Middle East is designed to express and inculcate the idea that Israel has not just the right, but the ability and the sovereign immunity to kill anybody it wants, whenever it wants, to abuse anybody it wants, whenever it wants, that it will make videos and publish videos bragging about this, and then they'll grin at you knowing that your country is so paralyzed by fear of them that they'll let them do it, and they'll let them do it to you. Here's a report about this from the BBC, clip 40, just to give you a rundown of exactly the numbers that we're talking about here.
We start with the international outcry over Israel's treatment of protesters against the war in Gaza. A group of more than 400 activists were arrested at a port in southern Israel after the Navy intercepted their flotilla in international waters. Israel has said they've all now been deported.
So, it's a lot of people, but it again shows the confidence of Israel. They didn't try to hide this. They didn't do this in the background and it had to be leaked out. Ben-Gvir posted the video of him walking around while they're all tied with their hands behind the back and their heads on the ground. And I don't know if we can find, there was a smaller video that was a compilation of some of these videos. We could just go to the videos one by one. I was hoping to avoid that just because it's very brutal listening to these, and I also don't know how, you know, confirmed each individual statement is, but when you hear all these people in all these different countries all saying exactly the same thing, it imbues it with a bit of legitimacy. Let's go to clip 17 here. It was called the Global Summoned Flotilla. They say at least 15 cases of sexual assault, including rape, and the people arrested being shot with rubber bullets, again, for having never committed a crime, never invaded Israeli territorial waters, but innocent Europeans who merely oppose what Israel is doing to the Palestinians have been kidnapped and subjected to rape and torture. Let's watch.
So we are clear that Israel was ready to escalate. The IOF were ready to escalate. They didn't need an opportunity. There was a woman that crossed a line that they had said nothing about, and she got shot with a rubber bullet for that fact. They were using any moment they could to use violence, even if it was pulling us from one place to another, trying to force us to fall. If somebody said free Palestine, they were very clear. You use words, we use guns. They said this to us repeatedly. We know that on one of the prison boats, as people were being brought into the open space, they were held in groups of two or three with about five commandos, brutalizing them one by one as people were entered into that container. We know on just one of the boats in one of the sections, there were at least 15 cases of sexual assaults that have been reported so far. There were over 30 broken bones, broken clavicles, broken ribs. We have people on their way to the hospital right now needing urgent care that was denied to them by the IOF repeatedly, as has happened before. We called for medical attention and they ignored us every time. It is unacceptable. And we need to make sure we are very clear that what we experienced was a tiny percentage of what Palestinians in Israeli prisons experience every single day. So if this can be a moment for us to make change, let's make change. Let's join together. Let's hold them to account. Because this violence is nothing compared to what they do to our Palestinian comrades. So please, if this can be a lightning rod moment, let it be that. And let us actually, finally change the system and hold Israel to account. Sanction Israel. Boycott. Divest. Anything and everything that we can do in every corner of the world. People can claim our power. It shows we can make a difference. When people stand up, use every opportunity you get to make a statement, to hold people to account. When we do this, change happens. So please join us. Join us wherever you are and rise up so that we can end this occupation, end this colonialism, end this violence, and free Palestine from the river to the sea.
There you go. Again, I do not disagree. Gaza flotilla activists allege abuse, sexual assault, and Israeli detention. Organizers of the Gaza-bound aid flotilla say freed foreign activists were abducted from international waters, faced abuse while in Israeli detention, including at least 15 reporting incidents of sexual assault or rape. The Global Summoned Flotilla organizer added in a statement on Facebook on Friday that several activists were hospitalized with injuries a day after hundreds were deported from Israel. So again, you know, the thing is, they could have stopped this and not raped them, right? Couldn't they have done that? Couldn't they have simply turned them away, the very worst, arrested and deported them? They knew there was media attention on this. And if there wasn't before, they published the videos, they guaranteed it. So just understand, they aren't ashamed. They aren't sorry. They aren't embarrassed. They don't regret it. They did it on purpose. They did it so everybody could see. They did it to teach you a lesson. Are you going to learn that lesson? Or are you going to learn the opposite lesson? The lesson they want you to learn is that they're all powerful, they can abuse you at will, and your countries won't do anything about it. The lesson you should be learning is that that's because our countries are taken over by Israeli sympathizers, and until we solve that problem, they will have freedom of action beyond what is right. They will be able to torture and abuse anybody they want when our leadership is too cowardly, controlled, and slavish to oppose them. It's not coming from the government. The solution to this is not coming from the government. And the only response to this should be another flotilla, and then another flotilla, and then another flotilla. And if it happens again, how about armed flotillas? That's the only response. We should be pressuring our governments to be doing something about this. The problem is they'll say stuff, but they won't do stuff. They'll say things, they won't do things. Rhetoric doesn't matter. Language doesn't matter. Not when it comes to stuff like this. Like, I think Frederick Merz, I think, said something about, yeah, well, he's talking about the West Bank. Settler violence in the West Bank is at unprecedented levels. Together with the United Kingdom, France, and Italy, we call on the government of Israel to end its expansion of settlement for a comprehensive and just peace based on a two-state solution. And Israel said, okay, sure. They said, yeah, we'll do that. Guys, we hadn't asked nicely before yet. Duh. We should have asked. They didn't know. They just didn't know that they aren't supposed to be doing this. Guys, have you tried calling on them? Have you tried calling on Israel? Guys, have you called on Israel to stop being inhuman demons and viciously murdering everybody who opposes them? Have you asked them nicely to stop yet? This is like almost worse than nothing. That's where we're at this point. I've spent God only knows how many hours talking about the West Bank, talking about settler violence. You'd think I'd be happy about this. You'd think I'd be celebrating Frederick Merz, Chancellor of Germany, sounding off about this very real, very horrifying practice of Israel. This doesn't matter, though. This doesn't do anything. This doesn't affect anything. This doesn't change anything. This doesn't sway the needle a millimeter. They don't care. Okay? Are we going to learn this lesson? When are we going to learn this lesson? They don't care. It really, I mean, dodo birds. That's all I see is a bunch of dodo birds who are like, we sent an official letter to the hunters to not kill us. Oh, did you? How'd that work out for you? Did they listen? They're not going to listen until you make them listen. Even then, they're not going to listen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they want. It doesn't matter if they're willing to go along. They're going to do it till somebody stops them from doing it. It really is that simple. Of course, the IDF is, you know, trying to distance themselves from Ben-Gavir, but he's your soul, so there's no separating from Ben-Gavir. He is your soul and your heart and your everything. So embrace it or reject it. The choice is yours. Choose wisely.
We have a massive Memorial Day sale that runs through Monday, running right now, on top of all the sales at theallishonestore.com. You get 25% off the top on top of every other sale that's there. That makes many items lost leaders, but they're so good. We want people to try the incredible products, the ultramethylene blue, the ultramethylene red, the incredible bovine colostrum, the zeolite spike protein chelation detoxification system. It's all there. That means the deals are already marked down, but on top of it, you're getting an extra 25% off, so stock up now. This is the time to load up. This is the Memorial Day sale, and it will not last. It ends Monday at midnight going into Tuesday. And on top of it, massive flash buy one, get one free sale is extended till Monday as well. Buy one T3 trifecta iodine tincture and get one of the very same size absolutely free. Get the ultramethylene blue tincture and get one free, or mix and match the two. So extend it until Monday. This is a bestseller. Both these are buy one, get one free. The very best iodine, the missing link, the very best methylene blue. Incredible. They synergistically work together. Buy one, get one free of the T3 or the methylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com. And on top of that, we are selling out of the new Freedom Shield wallets that are very, very popular, that are RFID and Faraday cage, hold 25 bills and 20 cards. Absolutely amazing. Limited edition with 1776 and or the other design, Don't Tread on Me. Those are about to sell out by this weekend. TheAlexJonesStore.com, and that funds this operation. And I salute you and thank you all for your support. And while you're on the site, it has the widest selection of Patriot apparel of every conceivable design and configuration. TheAlexJonesStore.com. You can also find the live feed of the show, the video and audio on the site as well. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Take action now to keep us on air and the fight against the...
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.